All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is competing at Bellator 292, and that all goes down on March 10th. A very intriguing bantamweight bout with Cass Bell and Josh Hill getting out there and testing skills, and good getting to have Josh on the show today. How's the day going so far there, man?
It's not bad. Not bad, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I would just imagine you'd be excited getting ready to compete here, just kind of getting out in the Shark Tank in San Jose and everything like that. Can you kind of talk about those dynamics there?
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. This is a fight that I definitely wanted for sure. I like the matchup. It's at a place other than Connecticut or South Dakota. So that's nice. Finally get away from, San Jose is whatever. I've been there before, but it's a better scenery than, Sioux Falls or Connecticut, like I've been a million times, or Oklahoma. But yeah, I'm pretty pumped for it. And my brother's a huge Sharps fan, and he's coming down for the fight. So it's pretty cool to get this fight at the SAP Center there. And then there's actually a Sharks game the next night, so we're going to stick around and catch a game too.
Oh, cool. Is that kind of like an anomaly a little bit, like him coming out to the fights, or is that kind of like a regular sort of thing, and then he just happens to be getting to go to a cool place this time more so?
He's been to a bunch of local ones, nowhere where it's in quite a distance. So yeah, it just kind of said him, like I said to him, I'm fighting San Jose, you should come on out and get to, go see your team play again and come to the fight. So it's kind of like a doubleheader, win-win for him. So yeah, he's all over it. He's pumped.
Yeah, you talk about some of the more like local kind of fights. I feel like your Instagram is good for that. Like I saw you had like a few weeks ago, like one of the old like Score Fighting Series picks from like the Hershey Center. Like it was like their big kickoff show, and definitely gave me some like 2010s kind of flashbacks and stuff like that. I definitely remember Score Fighting Series. So is it cool to kind of, reflect on those different things, like some of the previous like career throwbacks as you're, trying to have more great career memories too? Like, is it kind of fun to sort of like look back a little bit?
It is fun. It is fun. It makes me feel old, time flies, man. I guess I still remember when the score was like just bumping, and that was like the best thing and for MMA here in Ontario. And it doesn't seem that long ago, it just time goes by. But yeah, it's good to look back and I like keeping like artifacts and stuff like that, and just things that make me remember things and they bring up memories. And it's cool to look back on things like that. The score was awesome at the time, and I wish it lasted longer.
Yeah, no, for sure, definitely a great show. And yeah, I mean, a lot of cool posts, maybe some other ones I'll bring up later, but I did kind of want to talk about just the general trajectory leading to this fight, just the lead up and everything. Like, I would think there maybe be a sense of this kind of feeling like almost like a bit of a clean slate, like just in the sense of getting to start the 2023 run relatively early, like could probably have a good strength of schedule and just, coming off of like a rough time with like injury and things like that. Does it sort of feel like that, like almost like a clean slate sort of path going forward this year?
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, this is, last year sucked because I was supposed to fight in April and then got COVID, and that sucked. But it just lingered for so long, and it took me on my fight. That was a fight to get into the Grand Prix, which would have been great, obviously. That's something I wanted. And it was in Hawaii. Never been there, and that screwed that all up. And then I was, off for a bit, and then they couldn't get me a fight again until August. And then my opponent pulled out, they offered me my replacement opponent. And instead, if I didn't take this fight, then I probably wouldn't be fighting until probably the end of the 2022. So we did it anyway, and then I had a knee infection like leading up to that one. I lost the fight, lost the decision, which sucked. And then I had knee surgery in the fall, of last year. And so, 2023 is I like that, a clean slate. And I want to be active this year. So that's why I was happy to get on a show the first quarter of the year. And I want to fight like at least three times. That'd be ideal.
Yeah, for sure. I try to look at certain things in as much of like a positive term as I can. Like, I feel like when I have negative things happen to me, it's kind of just like, oh, well, you can learn from that and, you know, sort of have like a compounding benefit. I would think that you're inclined to have a similar mentality. Like, it seems like you've got like a good mind for a lot of that kind of stuff, and especially in like a sporting kind of, you know, context as well. And it seems like you've been making great strides with your business and everything like that. Can you kind of talk about like what you've been doing with that on the side and everything? So I feel like you would probably get a lot out of that too, or at least it strikes me as something that you would derive a lot from, just helping people with like, you know, sports psychology, just general self-esteem in life, etc.
Yeah, I have to, a lot of times I have to remind myself to do the things that I tell my clients to do or try to help them with, you know, because I tend to stray away, you know, do as I say and not as I do type thing. So yeah, it does constantly remind me to check myself as far as, you know, some of the things that I talk to my clients about. But yeah, that was, you know, Cerebral Champions is something I've been doing for about a year, just over a year now. And, you know, mental performance anxiety, things like that was something I struggled with dearly in my career earlier on. And I just never dealt with it. And then finally just, I was injured for a little bit. And I just said, I'm, you know, I got to do something about this. So I just started reading up many different books. And I really got kind of fascinated in it. And ended up enrolling myself back in school in an online program. And then completed that. And then now I'm just helping out other people, other athletes, a lot of fighters, but some other sports as well. And it just shows how important the mental game is, and I think it's so overlooked by so many athletes. You know, they only prepare physically and they don't really do that, the mental stuff. And it could be the difference maker for sure. So it's been going well though. I've had good positive feedback from everybody I spoke to and work with, so that's it's going well.
Yeah, well, that's awesome to hear that the endeavor is going well. And yeah, I mean, the mental part of it seems so huge. Like, I was talking to Carl Albrechtsen recently, and as of this recording, he's readying to, you know, fight on the Bellator card this weekend, and he was talking about relatively recently like enlisting some sort of like a sports psychologist, and he was just talking about how much of like a night and day difference it was, not even just for his competitive efforts, but for, you know, his life overall. So yeah, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes the difference maker just might be having an outlet to talk to and somebody to kind of get all these things, you know, out of your mind, off your chest type thing, that they didn't have before. And somebody that's not, you know, a family member or a friend or a coach, somebody that's, you know, a different entity. But it definitely helps for sure. I can attest to that.
And I'm kind of curious, like, where specifically you're, you know, training at for this one. Like, I feel like there's a great, like, cross-training culture throughout Southern Ontario anyway, so maybe a bit of work here, bit of work there kind of thing. But is there, like, a primary space you're kind of honing the skills leading into this next fight?
Yeah, cross-training, for sure, to say the least. I've trained all over the place, man. I train at Aegis MMA with Lyndon and the guys out there in Oakville. I train at Niagara Top Team with Prickett and the boys in Niagara. I go to Bora once in a while in Hamilton for some jiu-jitsu. My gym that I coach at, Vision Quest. And then I'll be heading out to California soon, actually, back out to Team Alpha Male, and I'll be finishing my camp with those guys out there, which I do all the time. So I'm all over the place, man.
Well, that's interesting. Like, obviously, you know, going to Alpha Male and everything like that facilitates you getting in high-level work with some elite fighters, but is there also, like, a certain component where you're wanting to, like, familiarize yourself with the immediate area and stuff like that, like, get more acclimated to the, you know, California area before the fight and all?
Yeah. Usually, I mean, I've been going out there since 2014. It's like a home away from home for me with all the guys there and the people there. I just you know, I do enjoy going out there, and I feel every time I go, I get great training, and it's a chance to kind of solely focus on that. But yeah, with this fight particularly, it was, you know, it's in San Jose, so I was like, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. It makes sense to go there for the second half of the camp and just, you know, lead right up into the fight. You know, it's the same time zone. It's 2 hour drive from Sac to San Jose, so I'm not even gonna fly. I'm just gonna drive down. So yeah, it makes sense for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I mean, over the years I've historically known you to get some work there, but it just seems to, you know, have especially, you know, worked out well this time. But curious about this upcoming fight, because I saw Cass Bell had made a certain post where he was saying that you had kind of, you know, put it out there, like, you know, asking for this fight, like thinking it would make sense. And you were kind of touching on that a bit earlier, just saying it was a fight that sort of like made sense on a couple levels to you. Like, when did you, I guess, initially start to like think of that as the fight you were seeking? Like, what aspect of this fight kind of led you to, I guess, putting that call out there? I mean, obviously it worked and you got what you wanted, so that's great. But like, what was the, I guess, nucleus of the whole idea as to why you wanted to have the fight locked in?
Well, I actually called for a fight with him when he was 5-0, and we were both in the top 10 in the rankings. You know, I wanted to fight another guy in the ranks. Obviously, I wanted to fight ahead of me, but that wasn't available at the time. And, you know, he was 5-0, so, you know, every fighter wants to be the first guy to beat an undefeated guy. So, you know, he was, yeah, undefeated, 5-0 in the ranks. That's initially when I called him out, but then I think he ended up fighting Stotts, and Stotts beat him. And then he fought Darnell Lugo after that, and Lugo beat him. And then, you know, it was, I didn't think of anything for the time being. I had my fights. I had fights with Stotts and Scoggins, and then my last one with Brenos. But, and then he just fought at the end of last year and beat Scoggins, who I fought. So I was like, you know, he's coming off a win now over a guy that I beat as well. And, you know, why not? He's, you know, he has lesser fights than me as far as numbers. You know, it makes sense. He's from San Jose too, or in that area around there. So it makes sense for us to get on this one. Similar in age. I just said, why not? I think it's a good matchup. It should be an exciting fight too, I think. So it makes sense, and he agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one of those guys that really just has that like hyper localized like Bellator experience. So it kind of like belies the resume a little bit. Like, I feel like he has been in there with some, you know, good quality guys and stuff like that too. That almost kind of surprised me a little bit though, like when you said that, you know, you guys are kind of outside of the rankings now, because I just kind of double checked on the Bellator rankings website. I guess I would have figured you guys would have still been within that mix largely. Like, is there that certain paramount importance this year to like want to get yourself back in the rankings hierarchy, or is it more of just a arbitrary kind of thing and it's like, oh well, you know, if I happen to win the next few fights and I get the ranking, cool, but maybe not the most consequential on your radar thing? Like, how would you, I guess, characterize that?
I mean, I was like a little bent when they booted me out of there right away. You know, I was just like, but whatever. And then I just kind of thought about it. And it is kind of like arbitrary. And dealing with the matchmakers and my, like with my manager and things like that, like, even, because I remember when I was in the ranks, I fought Scoggins, and he was outside the ranks, and I said, like, no, I want somebody that's ahead of me. And they're like, don't worry about it, it's all good, it, you know, it doesn't make a real load of difference anyway. So I ended up fighting him, and then I took another fight with Matos, who was again outside the ranks. He ended up pulling out, but then the same with Brenos. It's like, I'm taking a tough fight, that's a guy outside the ranks, like, what good is it? But they just said it doesn't really matter. So in the end, I guess it doesn't really matter, but would I like to be in the top 10? Yeah, I feel like I should be, for sure. So I want to get a win and get back in there, and you know, I want to fight. After this one, I beat Kaz. I want to fight another guy in the top 10, you know, to get back in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would be kind of a curious thing, though. Like, I can understand why you would perhaps feel that way, where it's like you're in the rankings and it's like you're fighting a guy who's kind of like entering the promotion, and then kind of getting the sense from them where it's like, ah, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, I would think that would be a little frustrating, where it's like, well, you mean, why have the rankings then? Like, I mean, the rankings should matter to a certain degree at least, but
That's why rankings kind of screw everything up, man. Like, no matter, you know, they do it, the Bellator is the same, UFC is the same. It's always, everybody just kind of like, well, is this guy, is this number, this and this number? And just like, I don't know. I'd probably just prefer it if they just got rid of him in general, because I think it would just make life easier. But, you know, I think it's a better marketing tool for them, because they could say this is the number four ranked guy versus the number two ranked, you know what I mean? So I understand it from that sense, but yeah, I think they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like we're talking about, kind of just like arbitrary sort of things, and I feel like a ranking spot will follow if you're getting out the kind of, you know, performances you want to, you know, put out there and everything. And I was happy seeing you rock the gold jacket last time out there. That was a cool tip to Gentleman Jerry Valiant. Like, how was that whole experience for you? Like, was that a fun part of the whole, I guess, experience, like kind of getting to break that out and integrate that into everything? And I guess as an extension, are we expecting the gold jacket for this next one?
It was fun, you know. It was something different, and I thought, I'm like, oh, you know, like, how can I kind of bring it back to that, you know? And then I remember, like, looking at the old videos and pictures, he's got one of those, so I was like, this would be cool. Yeah, so we did. I just found that online and ended up ordering it, and it worked out. But yeah, for this one, no, I'm not going to wear this one. I say I'm not superstitious or anything like that, which I'm not for the most part, but I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to do something different. I got another thing I'm going to get, have done. Nothing to do with that, but yeah, I'm going to change that for this one.
Like, and as far as like another jacket or maybe just another tip to, you know, the Valiant, you know, lineage and stuff like that. What do you mean by that?
Nothing to do with the Valiant lineage, anything like that. Just I'm getting a fight shorts and like walkout shirt type thing made up. So something else I think it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. You've been good with the wrestling stuff as of late. Like, I saw you had a pretty quality, like, Roddy Piper costume around Halloween, too. So that was tight to see.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm an old school wrestling fan. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really follow it anymore. You know, maybe I'll watch WrestleMania or something like that, but I'm just a casual. But yeah, growing up, I was a huge wrestling fan in the Attitude Era and even before that, like in the Golden Era, that was the shit, man. So I love bringing the old school pro wrestling stuff back to life, you know?
Yeah, no, that was the kind of era I grew up into. So good to hear you were kind of checking out the same stuff as well. But yeah, I mean, kind of the age I was at, it seems like you have a, you know, stepson that's around that age now. How's that experience been? Just kind of, I mean, like, obviously you've been in the picture there for, you know, quite a while now there, but I feel like that would be, you know, a cool sort of thing. Like, you seem like a very, you know, family oriented guy and stuff like that. Was that kind of like a big milestone? Like, oh wow, like 13 years old, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's weird now, because I remember like being 13, you know, so it's like, fuck, he's getting old.
Yeah.
You know, a teenager. It sounds weird to call him a teenager. It's because I still like think of him as like the young kid that I met, you know, like at 6 and 7, 8 years old. So yeah, it's been cool though. Yeah, it's been cool. It was kind of like I get to be a kid again in a lot of sense. You know what I mean, with the stuff that we do together. Although I'm still a kid 100% most of the time, you know, I act like it anyway. But yeah, like I kind of introduced him to a lot of horror movies, and he kind of got into that. And like, that's one of my big jams, you know? So it's fun to like take him to the new horror movies when they come out, or show him some old ones, things like that. So that's one thing that we've bonded over.
Yeah. I was going to say, it seems like from what I can tell too, like your daughter has gotten into the horror movies a little bit too. Like, it looked like she was giving you the business with the fake knife there a little bit ago.
She's not into the horror movies yet. She's still like, you know, I ask her, she's no, I don't want to watch that till I'm older. But yeah, she's definitely into the violence side of things. That's for sure. Yeah, she's definitely has my genetics for sure. And in that sense, she's a little wild one. she's a little that case, I'm she's in we have her in tennis right now, which is a sport I never thought I'd have my kids in, but we just kind of happened one day and said she loved it, and now that's kind of what she's doing, which is cool. I mean, I dig it. The tennis is fun, but yeah, not one that I thought that she would kind of go to, but she's loving it. So yeah, she's a little tennis player right now.
Oh, it's awesome. I feel like that'd be a fun part of being a dad, like just seeing instances where like your kids kind of have like passions that are maybe like divergent from like something you know a lot about, but it's kind of fun because then it's like you can almost like learn this new thing they're getting into. So yeah, that all sounds cool.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see, as she gets older. She's only four. So we'll see if she kind of, I would love to put her in, like wrestling or gymnastics. So we'll see if she kind of goes to that. I'm not going to force her to do anything, but I'll definitely want her to try some stuff out and see what she likes. And with my stepson, he just doesn't really have, he plays soccer, and he's in tennis as well now. He's enjoying that. But yeah, he didn't really grasp to the MMA side of things or jiu-jitsu or anything like that, which sucks because I actually think he'd be pretty good because that's how I met my wife actually was with at my gym. He was in the kids class and that's how we met. And he actually had like a natural good grasp for jiu-jitsu. He's like a long, like kind of lanky kid that's very flexible and he did very well in jiu-jitsu. So I think that could have been a good avenue for him. But yeah, he just doesn't really have the interest in it.
Oh, that's curious. Maybe something he could revisit with time, or who knows, maybe he just goes in the tennis direction, but either way, sounds like he's doing all right. But you've been really great with your time, man. It's fun getting to talk to you about a few different subjects, and I appreciate the insights, but I feel like I've taken up enough of your time. You probably have other things you need to do. So is there anything you want to maybe put out there as like a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Yeah, no worries, man. A parting thought. Oh, God, I don't know. I look forward to getting back in there, man. I can't wait. I'm excited for this one, March 10th. I want to make the best of these, probably the last few years of this career that I have. I'm 36 now. I'm not going to be fighting in my 40s. I don't want that. So, I know I'm realistic, and I know like I only have a limited time left. So I want to really, really enjoy this and enjoy the experiences, the good and the bad. But March 10th, it's going to be a good one, and I can't wait to get in the cage.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you've had a lot of great chapters in your career. Actually, funny enough, I just had a thing pop up on like a YouTube thing I have on my TV for like when you fought Marlon Moraes in World Series of Fighting. So I feel like my TV's listening to me. I'm getting a little worried. So I think this is a good point to wrap it up, and looking forward to the next one on March 10th. And yeah, thanks so much for coming on, and you have a good one, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. You too.